Hello and welcome to New Every Day. My name is Carrie and Jen is away, so I have two of my friends, Emily and Aaron, and we're going to be talking about family matters. So stay tuned. Welcome back to New Every Day. Thanks so much for tuning in. I have my good friends here with me, Aaron Hatton and Emily Riley, and we're going to be talking about family matters and parenting and what it's like to be a mom. But before we do that, I thought I'd let you get to know them a little bit better. So maybe Aaron, can we start with you?
Sure.
Just tell us about yourself.
Okay. I'm a mom of four. I have a son who's 14. A daughter who's 12 and twin daughters who are 9. I'm also a published author. I write fiction and I volunteer at a local charity called Redwood Park Communities.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. And what do you do at Redwood Park?
I'm a family support worker. So basically I do anything that builds supportive community with the people who live in the transitional housing there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So 4 kids.
Yeah.
Busy.
Yes.
You're very busy.
Yeah, and two dogs.
Thank you so much for taking time to be on the show with us. I'm very thankful that you would give us your time and sit out in the great outdoors in the heat of the summer. So thanks,
no problem.
Aaron. So, Emily?
So, I'm a new mom. I have one daughter, Claire, who's 11 months old. And my husband, Matt, and I also have a 3.5-year-old golden retriever. And my background's in interior design, and I work with commercial interiors, but right now I'm on maternity leave.
Yes. And 11 months have gone by so
fast. Oh, fastest.
Well, I've seen her grow so much.
Yeah.
In 11 months. Has it gone by quickly for you?
Yeah, fastest 11 months of my entire life.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And how? And your kids, how old are all your children again?
14, 12, and 9.
14, so. 12, and 9. That's right.
Yeah.
And has that gone by quickly?
Oh, so quickly. Yeah. Like my son in high school now, it's insane. I feel like he was just a baby yesterday.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And he plays the tuba.
Yeah, he plays the tuba.
Which I think is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to have you guys on the show to just talk about what it's like being a mom. But before you were a mom, tell us a little bit about like what life was like for you. What were you doing? Maybe how long were you married before you had your first child? And maybe you can just share some of what you thought parenting was going to be like. So give us a little snapshot of what you were doing just before you had kids.
Okay. When I had my first, we had been married for 1.5 years, and I was a new graduate from Redeemer University College. I had a teaching degree, and I was all set to be a teacher, and that kind of didn't turn out the way I thought. As far as my expectations for parenting, I don't know, I had this sense of this fairy tale kind of happy, 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 you know. I knew there'd be challenges, but yeah, I don't think you ever really know just how challenging parenting is going to be.
Really?
Really, yeah.
So when you thought challenges, were you thinking just like, oh, you're going to change some diapers and maybe
change
stop
some diapers
a
and
fight,
have, you know, a little, you know, discipline, you know, stuff like that, but
not
yeah.
Not what I thought.
No. Not what I thought, no. I'm glad I did it for sure, but yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of a utopian perspective of
a little
parenting.
Bit. Yeah. A little bit. Yeah.
And how about you, Emily?
Yes. Yeah. So Matt and I were married for 4 years, just a bit over 4 years before we had Clara. I'm a very organized person, so I was saying to Carrie beforehand, I'm like, I would have my day to clean and everything and my schedule, and that's what kept me calm and happy and content, was that I could have that organization to my life and that control, in a sense that I knew when things were going to happen and how they play out and all that jazz, and I could have that kind of sense. As far as expectations, like, I heard from my mom how I was as a child, and Clara very much takes after my personality, so we found out we were having a girl. So as soon as I heard that, I was like, okay, she's gonna be strong-willed child, stubborn just like me, kind of thing. And
you
so
anticipated.
I anticipated. Yeah. So I anticipated that kind of from the get-go. But like Erin was saying, you can even anticipate that and not know what it's gonna be like, because I don't think there's any way to really sense that emotion of having a kid and that connection until you actually have a kid. Like, you can have an idea of it through different means, like if you have a niece or nephew and that sort of thing, but when it's your own kid and you're dealing with it every single day, it's totally different.
So you kind of anticipated having a strong-willed baby and
knowing your
personality.
Which
Emily is such a wonderful, like, soft, amazing person. So clear,
but yeah, there's definitely that strong-willed side to her.
Spice.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sugar and spice.
Yeah, yeah. And that's part of what makes her so wonderful.
Yeah.
And
So can you share with us how things changed with your first child? Just kind of paint a picture, maybe when you what you realized as soon as you had your first child. How did things change? Time-wise, relationships-wise?
I was completely unprepared for how much of a toll it would take on me having a child. Like, just the level of exhaustion that I was the kind of person who needed 10 hours of sleep every night, so to go and function on nothing. The first night he slept for 6 hours was like heaven. And then I learned I could function on less sleep for sure. But the emotional toll too, you've got like these hormone levels that are doing crazy things with your emotions, and bonding with this little person and being responsible for their survival and their well-being. It's a lot to deal with and a lot to get used to. And yeah, for sure that changed a lot. And Emily was talking about being in control of things and having a schedule. And I was a lot like that too. And it kind of goes out the window when you have a baby.
Yes. In the sense that you won't be able to plan your day because you don't know what they're going to be.
Yes,
like.
For sure. Yeah. You know, if you want them to sleep at a certain time, but they don't want to sleep. So, or they, you know, they take longer to eat than you expected, or you're just about to walk out the door and they have a really messy diaper.
Yeah.
And it's just, things just can't go according to plan. It's, yeah.
And did you find your husband Kevin was able to adapt to those changes too? Is he a pretty flexible person?
Yeah, he's great with change. So he's been very supportive and helpful and all that. And yeah,
that's good. And you had your twin girls, Meg and Gwen, and were they premature?
Yeah, they were 3 months premature. They were very, very tiny, and they were in the hospital for a long time. So that took a really big toll on us, because we had two kids already. My husband was trying to work to support our family. I was in Hamilton, and my kids were in Midland, and Kevin was working in Barrie. And I think it was harder on him than me, because he was back and forth. Whereas I was able to stay at Ronald McDonald House and kind of recover and get used to taking care of the twins a little bit at a time.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, but having all four at home really, it changed my expectations for sure. I had to let go of a lot of expectations on myself.
Yeah. Wow. And at that point, like, did you realize that you wanted to be able to stay home with your kids, or did you still have that desire that you wanted to do some teaching? Was there?
No, I always wanted to stay home with my kids. That was always the goal, and I've just been really thankful that we could do that. It's been some sacrifices and things have been tight at times, but I'm really glad that I was able to do that with my kids. It was just the choice that worked best for us.
Yeah.
And that was always what I wanted to do.
That's
anything
okay.
else that I do, I sort of fit in between when the kids are in school.
Yeah. And there's I know Emily, you're on mat leave and you'll be going back to work soon.
Yeah.
And you're going to be doing two jobs essentially.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Motherhood, like even what I've seen, you know, of my amazing sister-in-law and of you guys, it takes so much time. It's a lot of planning. It is a job.
Oh yeah.
A great job.
Yeah.
And like we've all seen our moms do that great job. Yeah. And I didn't really realize until my friends started having
They're superheroes.
Kids. Crazy. Yeah. So how did things change for you, Emily, when you had Clara?
Well, as I was saying before, like, I'm a total, like, organization.
Yeah,
So, like I said, I try to clean the house in one day. And even when she was, like, a firstborn, I'd be like, okay, I'm going to get this done, and the house is going to be clean. And it's like I've had to split things up. And it's really been my mom telling me as well, like, you don't have to do all this. And even just learning to accept help from others, like, that's been a really good lesson for me as well, is learning to say, yes, you can bring me lunch, yes, you can bring me dinner, okay, I'll accept these meals, okay, you can clean the house. And just learning to accept that help has been a good thing for me, and learning to relax and breathe and all that. And, like, as far as, like, timing goes and stuff, just learning, okay, I don't have to do my devotionals right before I go to bed. Like, when she was a newborn, when I'd wake up at 2 a.m. to feed her, 3 a.m. or that sort of thing, like, I'd have, there's great apps for phones now, and that's when I would do my devotions, is like at 3 a.m. and I'd be sitting in the dark and scrolling through on my phone, right? And just learning how to do everything again, in a sense, and fit it in, and learning, like, it's okay.
And not feeling guilty about it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm reading the Bible at 3 a.m. at the same time when I would normally.
Exactly. And I don't have to do it at 3 a.m. That's not critical. It's critical that I do it and that I read, because that helps, like, me get through the day. But, yeah.
Not having that
pressure.
The pressure to do everything just so.
Yeah.
At lunch, we were talking about how there can be expectations about that people have of you at a certain stage of your life. So whether it's, you know, you're finishing high school and people are like, okay, well, what are you going to do after high school? What's next? What's next? What's next? Or, you know, being single, they're like, so when are you going to get married? I don't know. Or, you know, or as soon as you're married, then when are you going to have kids? There's expectations. And then as a parent, you guys said that you have witnessed and maybe experienced that there were some expectations from the culture, from other people, that are put on first-time moms and maybe second, third, fourth-time moms. I don't know if that changes.
For sure.
But can you share what some of those expectations that you felt from the culture that maybe weren't true that you realized later?
I think part of it is they're often conflicting expectations. So you have one school of thought that says, you know, let your baby cry to sleep. And then you have another school of thought that's like, no, never let your baby cry to sleep. And you have to find this, you have to find what works for you, what works for your family. And there's so much at stake, because you feel like, oh, well, if I do the wrong thing, then my baby's going to be scarred for life, and they're going to grow up to be this adult that needs therapy and talks about how bad their parents were, and, you know, and they're going to be, like, emotionally crippled, or you know, even just as your kids get older and you have schools of thought that say, let your kids take risks, let them do dangerous things, or some schools of thought, they're like, you know, put a helmet on your child while they're walking around, and don't let them climb trees, and rip out all the old playgrounds because they're dangerous, and you know. So the thing at stake there is, am I putting my child at unnecessary risk? Are they going to get, you know, maimed for life? Are they going to die from, you know, letting them do this? And so there's the expectations, I think, are things you put on yourself too, like I want to succeed at this. I don't want to fail. I don't want my child to fail, and I don't want my child to be hurt.
Yeah.
It's really hard to be able to let your child be hurt sometimes, because it's essential to their growth. But yeah, it's hard to be so emotionally attached to this child, this that you've raised from a baby, and watch them get hurt and maybe not be able to do anything about it.
And loving someone that much and then having to watch them suffer a little bit. You know, I think that in a sense, maybe that's watching my friend's parent has given me a different perspective of God. In that I can see how much I love these children, and knowing that he is our father and he loves us, like, did becoming a parent impact your relationship with God or your perspective of him in any way? Or
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah? Like, yeah. It gives you a totally different perspective on of unconditional love as well, because it's like the love that I have for Matt and the love that I have for Claire and that sort of thing, it's like different than the love that I have for you and Aaron and that, like, it's a totally different kind of love, right? Because like she can scream for like 2 hours straight or whatever, and it's the sort of thing where I'll still love her even if she screams at me like the entire night. And yeah, it's just understanding that in me, it gives it kind of that different perspective, right? Because you think, how much love does God have for me if like you can't comprehend it. That was a little broken.
No, but that totally makes sense.
Yeah,
like when you're changing a dirty diaper,
yes,
you're not like, ah, oh, just I can't believe I'm changing this dirty diaper, and you don't scold their who they are because they've made a mess.
Or after you change the dirty diaper and then they do another one like 1 minute later. Yeah. Like, you were done.
But I heard one speaker talk about that. Her name's Dr. Karen Purvis, and she's done a lot of work with children coming from hard places. And I just really appreciate her perspective on that, how there's bugs outside. We're not spastic. And she was talking about how, like, children, they make mistakes, and you just pick them up and you just love them for who they are, and you wash that dirt off and you just wash that dirty diaper and you just love on them. And that God does that for us, you know. He still picks me up when I've screwed up or you know, made mistakes, and still loves me no matter what. How did it change your relationship with God, Aaron?
For sure, like Emily said, just understanding God's unconditional love that way, but also my dependence on God. It's learning, like, I can't do this by myself. This is beyond my capacity. It really is. And to be able to rely on God to get me through, and to rely on God's image of me rather than how I see myself. Instead of my own perception of myself as maybe not fitting into those expectations, to be able to know that God thinks I'm enough. You know, God thought that I was going to be the best mom for these kids. So he gave, you know, he put us together for a reason. And with the Holy Spirit's power, I can do this.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that's been a big thing for me in my walk with God.
That is so good.
Yeah. And learning just about his faithfulness as well, even more. Like, Clara, she went through the bit of a hump in the beginning where she lost, obviously, weight after her birth weight, and then she started gaining it back, and then she lost more before she got back to her birth weight, and just going through that. And just God's faithfulness through that and getting her back, like, so quickly. And, like, she's totally healthy now. She's thriving, and, like,
and how God put you in touch with the right people to help.
Oh, exactly.
Like, you have great support with the midwives.
Yeah, and like friends and family and church family. And like Aaron was saying, like, you can't do it alone. Like, you need that support system around you. And it's not up to just you as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're out of time already. There's so much I wanted to ask you. We didn't get to talk about expectations even further. But if you come back again for another show, I really love that. So thank you so much for tuning in, and there's so much more for us to learn from Emily and Aaron. So tune in next time, same time, same place, neweveryday.tv. if you want to go to our website, check out our partners page, scroll through. If you go onto Amazon from our partners page, that helps to support the show. So thank you so much for tuning in, and we will see you next week. Thank you.